Well, good morning, everybody. So glad that you came out here. And even though it's a blustery day out there again, it's so nice to come together in the confines of this church home that you have here. This is our church home. And today we're going to be talking about a homeward bound situation in our text message this morning. We have been going over this book of Acts now for a while now. And we are witnessing through Scripture how God is spreading the gospel to the nations through the work of early Christians. And like those early Christians, we too should be on mission at carrying on the work of Jesus Christ, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ and how people's sins can be forgiven. They need to hear that, and you guys are part of the solution. As a church, we should be excited to share this hope that we have to our neighbors and our families, as well as the dying world that we see all about us. This is the last part of Paul's first missionary journey. 18 months he's been traveling, 700 miles by land and 500 miles by sea, it's estimated that he traveled. And I'm sure they were ready to become homeward bound finally. Have you ever taken a long trip? I mean, I'm talking about more than just a couple of days. I mean, a long trip. And then the last few days, I mean, can you just feel it? I need to be home. It's like you can't run fast enough. The plane can't fly fast enough. You want to be home. It's funny, it takes weeks to pack, and it takes minutes to pack up to come back home. That's just the way it is. That's our heart. There's this longing to be homeward bound. There's an old song called Homeward Bound. You know that song? It's by Simon Garfunkel. It says, do you remember? It says, Homeward Bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Yeah, that's a beautiful song. What a great old song. And there truly is, really, no place like home. But so please turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts 14, starting at verse 21, page 981 of these Pew Bibles, which, by the way, they're new for us here. And I call this the inspired and the infallible, living Word of God. And in that regard, though, first let us lift up our petitions to the Lord. Look, Father God, we ask you to be with us here today as we're going through your word. And Lord, there's a message here for every one of us. There's the intended message, Lord, maybe that's coming through this message. But Lord, there is a special message that's in these texts for each and every one of us today. Reveal that to us, Lord, as we're going through this. Lord, we love you and we need you more and more each day. And it's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen and amen. Well, last week, if you might recall, Paul and Barnabas, we were reading through this first part of chapter 14, they were in Lystra, and they were going about spreading the gospel. They had healed a man that was lame. The folks there claimed that Paul and Barnabas was the Greek gods, Zeus and Hermes, for which, in doing so, Paul ripped off his shirt and to deny their claims. Well, because of that, the people were insulted and they effectively stoned Paul for dead. Paul, though, survived the incident and he started preaching again, despite the risks. The main focus last week was, just like in Paul's days, many people don't know who God really is. And that's sad. We need to tell the folks about Jesus. And we need to be careful not to fall into the temptation of taking God's glory as we're trying to make a positive impact on the world and our neighbors. So we're going out doing great things, but we need to always point to Him as we're doing it. But that's the reason why church exists, though, brothers and sisters. We are trying to represent Jesus Christ to the world, and more directly to this town of Orion, Illinois. This church was founded in 1843. I think that's older than most of y'all. But this afternoon, we're going to happily celebrate our 175th anniversary of its founding. This church has positively impacted the city and the community in many ways. And the nice thing is, we're not done yet. We are now starting a new phase of what we're calling a church replant. We're getting back to the basics of what church is supposed to be all about. And we will see in these first few verses here the priorities of our church mission. So in your pew Bibles, this section is entitled Church Planting. Church Planting. It says in verse 21 of chapter 14, "After they had preached the gospel in the town and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the disciples by encouraging to continue in the faith and by telling them it is necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church and prayed and with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Verse 24 says, "They passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And after they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia." Lots of interesting names here, cities. But from there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had now completed. After they arrived and gathered the church together, they reported everything God had done with them and that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a considerable time with these disciples. So reads God's word. So if you've been following along in this first missionary journey of Paul, and we had the map up on screen a little while ago, it shows the dynamics and all the places that Paul had taken on his journey. And we had seen them travel from Antioch to these northern countries and towns, making believers and experiencing many hardships as they were going about doing it. These new city churches that they were starting were birthed through some very challenging circumstances. Paul is on his way now back to his home church. However, despite the risk, he decides to visit again. Remember, they just tried to stone him, and he's going back to visit them again because they were, from his perspective, new birthed church plants, and he wanted to encourage them and strengthen them again and to set up the leadership so that they might endure the hardships that they will face going forward before he heads back to Antioch. This is church planting done right. Church planting done right. We are a church replant. And God willing, we may someday plant new churches ourselves some days. As with many other life issues, the Bible provides this roadmap for our success. There has been a time in history, and we'll find out this afternoon when we're going through the history, where we actually started a church in over by Warner Castle. And that church, I talked to the fellow today who after it was served many, many years, they dug up the foundation. And inside the cornerstone of that church, they found a mason jar with all the members of the people who contributed to its building. What a joy it is to have your name inscribed as part of the effort of reaching God's people in this area. In this small narrative of verses this morning, we see the very definition of church being lived out. Today, in this generation, I find many people asking about church, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Why should I go to church when I can stay home and watch inspiration sermons all that I want on TV or even on my cell phone most any time? What's in it for me? Well, that's a great question. And there's many, many people asking that question right now, for which I am not convinced that we have, as a church, has addressed it adequately. I will attempt to answer this question in our sermon message today, and in that I pray that God will be glorified in it. So, what's in it for me? Well, the primary thing that we should realize as mature believers is that we join church together so we can effectively advance the gospel of Jesus together. That's a lot of work, and that's trying work, and that's risky work, and we need each other in that process. Doing church and striving to carry the Great Commission forward is tough. And like Paul says here in these verses, if we are doing God's will, then we recognize that we will be going through many hardships ourselves. Jesus said this himself as he established the church he says, so that we can come together to help each other get through life. We come together in church so that we might share wisdom, the resources, the many resources, the muscle, the compassion, so that we can not only exist but thrive and do great things. Today in Sunday school, we talked about I think it was Article 14 or something like that, but it's about what the Baptist faith and message is all about, what we believe. And one of the things we were talking about today was cooperation, the importance of cooperation. And it's great to see, you know, when we have the visitors like John coming in from IBSA, they're in it with us. You know, we're not alone, and that's a beautiful thing. But anyway, we're here to, we're on mission, and to advance the gospel to the world for Jesus. We come together in church not only to survive, but to thrive as we are doing His great work. Another answer to the question, what is in it for me? We are here in this together. Life can be a lonely, lonely place, brothers and sisters. In this age now where families seem to be more broken up today than ever. Have you seen it? And it's so sad. But this in this church, though, we have aunts, and we have uncles, and we have brothers, and we have sisters, and grandfathers, and grandmothers. This is a wonderful church family that God has blessed us with. It is instrumental for a healthy upbringing is to be with family, loved ones, people who care about you. And that's what church is about. And even though we live in the age that is saturated with social media, people are lonelier than ever. Have you seen it? Amen? That's sad. Yes, there might be plenty of friends that you might have on Facebook, perhaps, or Twitter, or whatever, but many of these relationships are really very shallow. They don't really mean anything down when going gets tough. That's not God's will for us. God wants us to have Christian relationships, strong Christian relations that are even stronger when we come together as family so we can do His work. You might recall that Jesus experienced this dichotomy Himself. It took a while for Jesus' family to truly accept Him as their personal Lord and Savior. They were some of the last ones of the people that were surrounding Him. And until that happened, Jesus referred to His disciples as His true family. Jesus said that He's going to cause a wedge between the family members even, because one's going to believe in Christ and the other ones are not. And at that time, His brothers and sisters were not part of the fold. His mother even was trying to come get him and take him away from his disciple-making process out there. But later on, we know that Mary came to Jesus at the cross, and Jesus loved Mary so that he gave her to John to take care of. And we know later on that His brothers came to the faith because, well, Jude and James are His half-brothers, and they wrote a book in the Bible. So eventually they did come around, but there was a time where Jesus reflected that they weren't yet in the fold and that you as a church were more important at that particular time to Him. That's you, brothers and sisters. In this world that we have, that's disconnected communication, I'll call it, that is a big reason to be here in church. This is family. As a church family, we need to get close to one another, not only to survive, but to thrive. And in doing so, God will give us His purpose and joy and experiences that we can cherish and enjoy for ages to come. And just like Paul and Barnabas shared their great adventures and experiences with their church family, their home church family, if we are doing God's will, then we too will have many stories to share. We are celebrating 175 years together as a church today. And in that, we will hear of great stories about lives well spent. We've already heard some of them here this morning. We are intended to live life together through church and live it in abundance, abundantly. John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." I don't know about you guys, but I want life abundantly. Amen. I think I came out jumping out of my mom's womb, waiting for life to happen, waiting for that abundant life. But I couldn't have it in the construct of my family members. I had to actually leave to find it and then to find Christ. And so that's God's will for each and every one of us, to have life and have it abundantly. The third answer to what's in it for me is that church gives you the opportunity to express your love for Jesus through Christ's bride. Through Christ's bride. Jesus calls church my bride and my body. That means that Jesus is part of this church and we belong to him. The imagery and symbolism of marriage is applied to Christ and the body of believers known as the church. The church is comprised of those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have received eternal life. The bridegroom has sacrificially and lovingly chose the church to be his bride. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, you know these ones, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with his word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without wrinkle or spot or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's you, church, that he's talking about here. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you truly love Jesus for what he has done for you, then you should know that he wants you to be with his bride, to love his bride, respect his bride, protect his bride until the day that he comes back for her. That's what Jesus has in store for us. This is your church family. And as we are now celebrating this church today, we should endeavor to keep her healthy through fellowship and encouragement and strengthening, just like Paul did here in our text here this morning, for the mission that God has called her to. Jesus wants you to love your church family, his bride, sacrifice for her, and even die for her if necessary. There are many other answers to this what's in it for me question, but for me personally, I want my life to mean something. Church gives me that opportunity. I know as I'm getting older and older in years, the years just seem to be going by faster and faster. Is that the way it works? I don't know. But I want my life to mean something, to give God the glory. I value this network of church believers here and around the world. Church provides that to me. I've traveled all around the world, every continent almost, and in that regard, every place I went, I plugged in to the church. What a blessing it is to have church family all around the world. I value that cooperation, that network, that wisdom and knowledge that I'm given through the Holy Bible and the Holy Spirit, and I want to learn more and apply it more. Church helps me in that. And finally, I know that I'm a sinner. I know a lot of you know that, by the way. I am a sinner. And I need accountability. And I need much grace. And church helps me stay on track. I love my church family. And I hope you do too. Now, going back to our verses here this morning, one other thing that Paul did for each of those new churches, he appointed elders. Now, these were not apostles or seminary graduates, we don't believe. They were most probably mature members of that flock that Paul had spent a little time with, that Paul felt that they understood the gospel and were willing to continue on and protect the church family. The role of an elder or pastor is an important role. Verse 23 said that the church fasted and prayed over those elders and over them. They had to trust that God was going to equip them for the task ahead. It is a serious role to serve as a pastor, one that we should never take lightly. The Bible shows that pastors will be held accountable for how they lead the church. I am your pastor, and I am your shepherd. And I know this role comes at it with a huge responsibility of caring for each and every one of you, the flock. And I thank you for putting your faith and trust in me. And I thank you in advance for your prayers and your fasting and your care for me and my family as we endeavor to and never take that for granted ourselves. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I will do my best to serve you, First Baptist Church, Orion, and I pray that you will do your best to serve well in that regard as well, to the glory and the purpose of God the Father in heaven." So Paul and Barnabas, this first missionary journey was now finished. 18 months, 700 miles by land with no Uber, no tram, no race cars, and 500 miles by sea. Probably didn't have the speedboat, I'm guessing. The two apostles were committed to the task, though. They knocked down the Jewish and Gentile walls that had separated the two for thousands of years. And they were truly successful at starting these churches. And to that is a wonderful, wonderful testimony. In the last few verses of this book, Luke wrote in chapter 14 of Acts, it says, "They reported everything God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." God is in the business of opening doors to all the different types of people, and opening doors to the people's hearts and minds as well. Matthew 7:7 reads, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will" what? "Find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." Paul and Barnabas served as an instrument of God during these travels, but God accomplished the task through them. God opened the door to the Gentiles and effectively to us too during this first missionary journey. We are part of that grafted in people into the vine. And God still opens doors for those he puts in our paths as well. We are doing the instrument. We are the instrument of God, but he gives us the harvest. Like Paul and Barnabas, this church is an instrument of God. And although some of our instruments may be just a little bit rusty, if we want this church to thrive, then we must use all of the gifts in all of you that God has provided. Choose today to be part of this glorious charge that God has given us. This is, like it says in your bulletin, on the very front. Everybody get your bulletin, flip it over. Go to the front of your bulletin there. On the very bottom, there's an old saying that's been there for 100 years or so. This is a friendly church in a friendly town. Everybody say it with me. A friendly church in a friendly town. And we have much work to do. Our final verse 28 says, "And they spent a considerable amount of time with the disciples. They had many stories to tell and to teach about what they had learned. You too will have many stories if you are willing to follow the Holy Spirit in your lives. I can tell you that when I was young, living in Detroit, pondering what life had in store for me, I was so ignorant, I had no clue. I would have never guessed the amazing adventure that God had prepared for me in advance. Never would I have guessed. I have some fantastic stories to tell you all and share with you all, just like Paul and Barnabas got to share with his family, and I want to hear your stories as well." That's the adventure that God has us on. It's a beautiful thing. This is our church family. We are bountifully blessed here in Orion, Illinois, and like Paul, we too have a godly purpose. Instead, this church we should be encouraging one another inside this church. equipping each other. We should be accountable to each other and loving each other, showing mercy and compassion to one another and grace as we go along carrying out the Great Commission to those that God puts in our paths. And today, we're going to celebrate. Some folks will be coming today, will be feeling that they are homeward bound. Anybody got that feeling a little bit, that you've come back home a little bit? Yeah. As they return to this church today, it's going to be great to hear their stories too. So next time you run across somebody with the question, "What's in it for me?" regarding this church, give them these answers. One, God gave us the church family so we can serve together for His purpose and glory. Two, that God gave us the church family to help each other get through the hardships of life. The church network is an invaluable gift in that regard. And three, God gave us the church, His bride, to take care of, to love and demonstrate how much we truly appreciate His saving grace. You can't do these things while you're watching televangelists and staying home. God intends that Christians stay together and serve together through church. Amen?
Amen.
Would you please rise? Every day when we meet here, when we have a service, we have this thing at the end, it's called an invitation. And if you have an inkling to come forward, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to join the church, to become baptized, or repent, or ask for prayer, while Amanda plays this next song, please consider doing just that. Let us apply your word and your will to our hearts today. But Lord, watch after us as we're preparing to go and eat the potluck supper here and then continue on with our 175th anniversary. Lord, we are so blessed and we need you more and more day by day. Lord, and as we close here today, if there's anybody that wants to accept you as their Savior and hasn't done yet, Lord, let them have the courage to make that known. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you. And Father God, we ask your blessings about you through this, our meal here today as we're getting ready to eat. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the people who's prepared it. And Lord, let us have fellowship in this regard in your church. And Lord, we love you. And it's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says,
Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. God bless you all. Oh, yeah.
Well, I should have picked up another one. This is very fun. Hey, well, as far as I'm concerned, you can come back every Sunday. You did a lovely job. Thank you very, very much. Well, it is that season. This is Quentin. Dante. Mr. Laura.
I can also make a slideshow of all the pictures.
Oh, really?
I had from Disney and then from Sound of the City.
Oh, really?
So I can make a slideshow and then I can bring that in and we can do that.
We'll show it tonight or next week.
I probably won't be able to do it tonight, but I might be able to do it on Wednesday or next Sunday.
That'd be wonderful. I'd love to see it. Keep it down to, you know, like 100.
Yeah, I have like 200.
Oh, I'm sure. Very good.